I wanted to have us read this passage of this really great prayer of faith and victory in Asa's life that God intended that he would always look back on that. And when other problems would come, that he would remember what he had done. And that's why I want to just share some thoughts here this morning about remembering what he has done. And I had mentioned something about testimony. I pray if there are others, I have a couple. Things that God did that he doesn't have to do them over and over again, but to remember what he's shown you, and you can trust him. And what we're going to see and look at a little bit is that Asa, later on in his being king, went ahead and did something disregarding crying out to the Lord like he had done then. So my thought was, if you have something that God pointed out to you somewhere along the line that he surely never wanted you to forget, that he is works that way and will work that way now. We have such a tendency as humans to forget. And just a reminder, it's important not to forget. Heavenly Father, I just ask that by your Holy Spirit, as we share even out of an Old Testament reminder of one of the kings of Judah, a reproof that came to him for not remembering, that, Lord, it'd be important for us to be people that remember and not forget. So guide our, and you know our hearts, you know what we need, you know the days ahead and the present day we're in, and we ask your direction in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I say, God knows our tendency to forget. We, right now we're reading through the Exodus and the all that God is doing to get his people out of Egypt by bringing all these tremendous hordes of things that he's doing in Egypt. And finally, through the death of the firstborn, for those that were not under the blood, they were sent out. They went through the Red Sea. He opened the sea. And Moses in the book of Deuteronomy over and over again says, don't forget. Don't forget what God has done. One of the verses I just would share, Deuteronomy 15:15, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. So over and over again, he says, don't forget, because there is such a tendency to forget. One sad passage that stands out to me, in fact, I think it's one of the grievous verses, is in Judges 2:10, and I'll just paraphrase what it said, but it says, Joshua, the people, they stood true to the Lord in the days of Joshua, as Joshua led the people to retake the land. But after Joshua died, there was a new generation that grew up that didn't know the Lord, neither what God had done, and that they did evil in his sight. And I, in a concern for a family, one of the prayers I have and concerns I have, that there not be a generation down the line that doesn't know the Lord anymore, does not honor him, and does not know what he's done. And it has always caused me to wonder what was not being passed on from those that overlived Joshua for a generation to grow up that didn't remember what God had done. They hadn't been told, or they didn't take it to themselves, or whatever. Anyway, that introduced the days of the judges, and if you know the topic or the what Judges describes that there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes, and that was happening in the days of the judges. So one of the special reasons that we have the Lord's Supper is a time to remember. And we must never forget what our Savior's done for us, and it's what God did for his people after coming out of Egypt, established a Passover that they would have this from year to year and remember. But I want to just consider, I read about how King Asa responded to an attack of a huge army coming against him. Asa was a great-great-grandson of David, and I read his prayer this morning and how God answered, and in a mighty, mighty way. If you have your Bible, I'd like just you to look at a little bit what Asa was like. As a king, he really honored God, had a heart for God, and we're in in chapter 14, a couple things just to point out if you're there. In verse 2, it says, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord." Talks about him taking away some of the occult things that were in the land. In verse 4, he says, "He commanded Judah to seek the Lord." And just on, that he was a righteous king, and he was imploring and encouraging his people to stay true to the Lord. He demonstrated that when he came into this problem with this million-man army that was coming against him, and we read this morning the prayer that he made and the way that God responded. In chapter 15, the Lord sent him a reminder, which is a very important reminder here. It's in chapter 15, verse 2. "And he went out to meet, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." And basically saying, there's a passage, Jeremiah, I may just refer to it next week, but that says, if you trust, cursed is a man that trusts in man. And it tells what he is like. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. And so he's just telling him here how to be blessed in an ongoing way. God has blessed you. Do know that you need to keep seeking him. And there's several things pointed out then that Asa did were very commendable. In the rest of chapter 15, they entered into, verse 12 of 15, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. He even, pretty amazing here, it's in verse 16, his mother, she had an evil she made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down the idol, took her out of her leadership, and he stamped it and burned it at the brook of Kidron. And so there was much going on throughout Asa's reign that he served the Lord. He wanted his nation to serve the Lord. Back in verse 7 of 15, he says, "Be strong, therefore, and let your hands not be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And so then we come to chapter 16, and it's later on. It says that it's in the 6th and 30th year of Asa's reign. Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah, built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa. And I think you remember, it's under Solomon's son Rehoboam, that that the kingdom was divided. Ten tribes went and called Israel. Judah and Benjamin, the southern kingdom, those are the kings. They pretty much stayed true to the Lord up and down. But in Israel, they were not serving the Lord. And it was a very rare thing for them to have any kind of king of righteousness. So Asa's faced with something that now they're going to build a fortification that people from Judah cannot go into the northern kingdom, Israel. And what we find here, that Asa hires a Syrian army to take care of it. Now, the Syria would have been their enemy and something that would become a problem to them down the road, which Asa maybe just did not consider that at all. But there's something about later on in life, one of the kings, may not find the reference here right now, maybe I will. One of the kings of Judah says that he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, he turned against the Lord, doing things he should not do. And I think this is maybe part of the thing here with Asa. He has learned how to operate more in his younger part of his reign. He so strong in having his people turn to God and follow God and live for God. In this situation, it says that he took gold and silver out of the house of the Lord, and he hired Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that they would come and take care of that problem. And the truth is, they took care of it, and they defeated it. But Asa was reproved of the Lord for not remembering, and that's what I want us to see here. If it's in chapter 16, in verse 7, and at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, this is after he'd hired the Syrians to take care of his problem, and they took care of it, but now he gets this word from a messenger from the Lord. Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. And then he says this, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host and very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. Don't you remember, he said, don't you remember how God delivered you? Wonderful prayer he made to the Lord. And one of the things he had prayed in that prayer, it doesn't matter whether we are many or with those that have no power. Help us, O Lord. We rest on thee. And then this servant of the Lord gave him this message that I think is one of the most treasured truths to think about. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. What a wonderful thing to ponder. I remember a couple times, I haven't flown much, but a couple times I remember looking at houses down there and thinking about this verse. And I said, what do you see in that house, Lord? What do you see in that place? What does he see in your house? What does he see with us? His eyes are looking for those whose hearts are perfect toward him. And the promise is to show himself strong in behalf of them. Asa had seen that. So the last half of that verse says, herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. The sorrowful thing to me about Asa is it did not cause him to repent. God is always, even if you get off track and you start going your own way, and through the word or some way that he rebukes you or he brings to you You're not going down the right road. There needs to be repentance. But notice Asa. Asa was wroth with the seer. He put him in prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. One other thing that's spoken up about about Asa later on, he was diseased in his feet, and I've been, that verse has stood out to me. And in his disease, he sought only to the physicians and not to the Lord. It's not saying you shouldn't seek to the physicians, but I believe God's way is seek him first and let him show you the direction on it. And that's when we have opportunity to anoint, we always take that approach. Seek first what God wants to do here. He may send you to the physicians, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what a sad, to me, a sad ending to the life of Asa and how he behaved at the end. I want to back up just a moment to the promise here that his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. And I think that needs to be more said about that, but he's looking for those who love him. He's looking for those who depend on him and go to him for help. He's looking for those that will trust him instead of men. He's looking for those who operate in faith of what's not seen. Asa, when that huge army came, he came to the Lord in faith. You're able to do it. I believe you're able to do it. And God demonstrated that. So I just point out, while I'm thinking about it, of his son was Jehoshaphat. And along in the reign of Jehoshaphat, he ran into sort of a same kind of thing. A huge army came against him. And if you remember, his prayer was, Lord, we have no might against this, and we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. God showed him what to do and gave them victory. I would believe that Jehoshaphat somehow learned from what Asa had done early in his reign and saw that the Lord's was faithful. So there's two important reminders that I would just, the one is concerning his eyes, but also the one from the Lord that came to him in 15:2 and said that the Lord is with you while you be with him, and if you seek him, he'll be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So I think, I don't know how long some of you have lived the Christian life, but there have been things that God has done along the way to demonstrate him coming to your rescue. He never wants us to forget that. He's a God that will meet the needs of his people as we go to him. And of course, one of the greatest things that we must never forget is what God in his love did in sending the Lord Jesus and what happened at Calvary to redeem us, to bring us into God's family if we trust in him and one day live forever in his presence. So just a reminder, don't forget. Remember. And God is, throughout the Old Testament, gave ways, keep doing this as a reminder. Remember what he did in Egypt. Remember what he did at the Red Sea. Remember what he did when you opened your heart to Christ. Father, I thank you today for reminders from your word to not forget. Thank you that you're a God that does not change. You're a God that's reliable and that you want us to remember. You want us to remember what you've done along the way. I pray for your grace in that. Above all, Lord Jesus, we remember what you did and we praise you. And may we never, on this side of glory, lose sight of that wonderful thing you did in giving your life for us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'd just like us to turn in our hymnals to 667. And I'll stand and sing a verse of Without Him. Just the first verse, 667, if you would stand with me. Sing verse 1. Lord, we know that sometimes you bring testings into our life. Sometimes trials just come into our life. Help us to remember, Lord, your greatness, your power, your desire to heal, your desire to minister. Lord, may we be in each of our lives not forgetters, but trust you. Thank you for your faithfulness. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.